Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Today we meet the new artistic director for the OK Mozart Festival in Bartlesville. Konstantin Katsopoulos has been a guest conductor at the festival for the past couple of seasons and assumed the artistic leadership for the festival this fall. He's currently the music director of the Queen Symphony Orchestra in New York City, the general director and founder of the Chatham Opera, and the artistic director of another summer festival, the Festival of the Arts Boca in Florida. Katsopoulos is a versatile musician, working as a guest conductor for regional and national orchestras at a number of opera houses and on Broadway. He most recently served as the music director of Gershwin's Porgy and Bess revival on Broadway, which was a Tony Award winner for 2012 with Audra McDonald, and has also served on Broadway shows ranging from Les Miserables, The Mambo Kings, to the Tony-nominated A Catered Affair, which makes him perhaps the best choice to lead the varied music menu of the OK Mozart Festival. He was here in town earlier this month. I spoke with him about his vision for the festival this summer. Konstantin Katsopoulos, welcome to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
And congratulations on being the new artistic director for OK Mozart.
Well, thanks.
As you well know, the festival started out with this incredible period of stability with Ransom Wilson being involved with the festival and Nan Bullinger being involved with the festival for about 20 years. And you had this great stability, but since they've transitioned out of the festival, there's been constant change, and it really looks like the festival is searching for identity. As artistic director, what is your vision of what that identity should be for this wonderful festival in Bartlesville?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I've been here for 2 years as a guest conductor and kind of feeling my way through what it is and what I think I'd like it to become. I've been aware of the festival for a long, long time because of the immediate New York orchestra that comes every year, and before that, Soliste in New York with Ransom. And I've been aware of the great quality of performance that has been going on. And I think that what I'd like to do and what we are actually, in fact, going to do is to have a programming philosophy that centers around thematic programming. So in other words, each festival year will have its own theme. This coming June of 2013 will be America the Beautiful, and will be featuring music of American composers, Native American composers, as well as George Gershwin, Harold Arlen, Aaron Copland, John Corigliano, the usual suspects. But I mean, we really want to celebrate what America has to offer, and the American diaspora, which is vast. But I think that the idea of doing thematic programming is a good one for the festival. It'll kind of hang things together so that the chamber music, the orchestral music, the crossover music all gets tied together. And then we can also tie that together in terms of our educational programming, which we're working on having all year round, so that we can tie things to other disciplines, social studies classes, English classes, language classes in the schools, and really show how all these things can be brought together and how it's really kind of a complete learning for kids. But not only for kids, it's a way of kind of expanding the horizons of the audience that comes to the concerts, and also a way of attracting new audiences, which we desperately need to do in the arts all over the country.
If I can expand on what you just said, like if you decided to do a thematic unit around the English Romantics, obviously there's English Romantic poetry, mm-hmm. there's English Romantic music, the late
sure.
Romantics of England. Is that the sort of thing you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what I'd love to do, is to be able to not only take the music on its face value, but to say, okay, if it's English Romantics or if it's whatever it happens to be, to say, well, here's what was going on when George Gershwin was writing the Concerto in F. Here's how old he was. Here's the age that he was when he died. And what else was he doing? Here's a guy that was involved in all sorts of different kinds of music, from Broadway to film to the concert world. How is it that somebody like that can be so broad? What did it have to do with the socioeconomic situation in the United States at the time? What was the visual art like? How did it relate to the Depression? How did it relate to the aftermath of World War I? There are all sorts of ways to tie these things
it's
together.
It's a very broad humanistic sort of approach to music.
I like the term humanistic. I never thought of it in that term, but I think that's a great way to think about it.
Yeah, so will we see a day where if we're going to a thematic program involved with America the Beautiful, we might hear a lecture about the immigrant experience or
something? Absolutely.
I mean, so you're really talking about revamping the whole bones of the festival.
Absolutely. You know, and when you talk about the immigrant experience, the OK Mozart International Music Festival, that's the official name of the festival. So if we do, for example, if we do a year on Italy, mm-hmm. you know, we can very easily tie it to not only those who came through Ellis Island and stayed in the New York area from Italy, but there are Italian Americans here in Oklahoma.
That's right. The coal miners down in southeastern Oklahoma, Krebs, where you still
yeah.
have the oaky Italian food. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and why? What are the traditions that have been kept? How has that group been assimilated? And you know, how is music connected to all of that?
And that really gives you a new insight into music, because when you understand, you know, the circumstances of the composer when they're writing, the things that were going through their mind, whether it's, you know, when the Romantic era in Germany, when you had all this political turmoil and mm-hmm, these guys are
exactly.
writing these beautiful, beautiful melodies at a time when a lot of times there was political chaos.
Sure. Absolutely. That's something that's very fascinating to me. Now, take a look at Dvorak, for example. Take a look at the New World Symphony.
This is one of the works you're going to be doing this summer.
Yes. And take a look at the connections it has to America that very few people really know about, except for, you know, those of us who study this stuff. But it's important for people to know that he lived in the United States for a couple of years. He established the first conservatory in the United States in New York City, lived in Spillville, Iowa, you know, for a couple of years. And they just in a community of Czech people that just happened to be there. To move there, and that the New World Symphony is based on music, what his impression of music, melodies that are African-American in origin and Native American in origin. I mean, it's a fascinating thing to put all of that together and look at it as a celebration of what's quintessentially American.
Even though it has a Czech composer writing it and, you know,
exactly.
it has the Slavonic sort of overtones of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, it is an interesting philosophy. How do you go about changing a festival? This festival has been, I don't know how many years. It's almost 30 years probably at this point.
2013 will be 29th year.
29th year.
Yeah.
So this festival has had this long history. How do you go about changing things? Because I know you have another festival in South Florida. You're also mm-hmm. involved in sort of changing the direction of it
yeah.
slightly as well. So what are the first steps?
Well, I come in with a plan. I've presented a five-year artistic plan to the board of the OK Mozart Festival. And so I was here, I think, maybe August or September, whenever it was that I was here, several months ago. I basically put the plan together not just saying, okay, well, let me just cater something to Oklahoma and Bartlesville. That's an important part of putting this plan together, but I also wanted to put together stuff that I really enjoy, that I really like, and I really believe in. And I presented the plan to the board, and they happened to like it too.
That's very important, because if you don't have passion about what you're doing, there's no way you can, I hate to use the word sell, but really,
well,
I mean, really, that's part of
it. It's analogous to that term. And the thing about passion, and you, I'm glad you used that word, because, you know, the thing about, a lot of us use that word all the time, you know, frequently. Passion is nothing without the discipline behind it. And the discipline is a matter of sitting down and making a plan that makes some kind of sense. And so I presented it to them, and we hit it off. And it seems like everybody's kind of on board with that plan. Now, you know, there are some times you go into a situation and you present a plan and people don't like it. Now, there are always going to be revisions. There's always going to be things that will change here and there to kind of tweak something to make it work better. But sometimes it doesn't work. And really what I'm interested in is not just my plan, but the long-term sustainability of the festival.
Now, you know, when the festival was five, 10 years in, they were drawing as many people from well outside of northeastern Oklahoma as they seem to be drawing from northeastern Oklahoma. Has that changed over the years, where they're drawing fewer people from outside of the area?
I don't know that. What I haven't actually looked at the demographics of the audiences over the years. I would imagine that it probably did change. I mean, there's
in the first 20 years, it was really a classical music festival, and now it's, as you mentioned, it's more of a music festival. Because you have crossover, you have things that are only vaguely related to Western European art music, and it's fine art in its own right. But, and then do you anticipate that approach continuing to stay?
Well, it's interesting that the term classical is a term that I kind of get away from, especially when it comes to orchestral music, because unless you're dealing with Haydn, Mozart, and early Beethoven. It's not really accurate anyway.
That's true.
So when I talk about orchestral music, I talk about orchestral music. There's something about the experience of sitting in an audience and hearing the sound of, 50 to 100 musicians wash over you. That can be a very emotional experience. And I think that's what we need to be marketing and selling to the public and getting people excited about. And then if you take a look at chamber music, is meant to be heard in an intimate space. Well, is there any reason why chamber music couldn't include jazz, for example?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No.
Small ensemble.
I can see some people would say yes. Other people would say that's heresy.
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm like the firefighter that runs into the burning building. I get attracted to that kind of controversy because I think the thing about it is it can open up a conversation about, okay, is jazz chamber music or is it heresy?
The conversation is about the same between the musicians. It requires, in fact, in the course of jazz, it's not written down. It's improvised at the moment, and so you're having that conversation.
You're still dealing with composition.
Yes, you are. You're dealing with compositional form. Absolutely. Yeah.
So there are all sorts of things that we're going to explore, from the traditional and ways to present the traditional music in ways that, maybe by going and doing something in an alternative space, a place where you might not expect to hear chamber music. We might try to do something with that.
Give us an example of where you see a place in Bartlesville where you haven't done chamber music before that you might consider. Do you have an idea yet?
I'll give you an analogy in a way. There's a place in New York called Le Poisson Rouge, which is essentially a nightclub where classical. I said I wouldn't use the word classical, right?
Yeah, you did.
There I did. Where chamber music is played. And some of the alternative groups like Ethel or Kronos, or is Kronos still alternative? I don't know.
It's pretty much an institution now. But you're talking about cutting edge chamber music.
Yes, cutting edge chamber music. Where
devoted to living composers and living composers writing for the group.
Yeah. And Bartlesville's got a lot of great buildings, and a lot of their lofts that are being converted. Are actually commercial spaces that are being converted into lofts where there's on the bottom floor there's still a retail space, so we might do something in there. We've got a capital campaign going at OK Mozart because we own the building that where our offices are, and right across from our offices, across the hall, is a big space that could seat maybe 100, 125 people. That we're hoping to convert into a performance space, which would be interesting. It's not a conventional concert hall, but it's a kind of an interesting, cool place where, you could combine chamber music with art exhibits and so forth. So, there are a lot of things we're exploring right now.
Yeah. Now, another big component of the festival is just the community spirit that's very much involved in the community events.
Mm-hmm.
Will you anticipate sort of rearranging the community events around whatever theme? I mean, America the Beautiful, that's a pretty easy theme to accommodate, but say down the road, it might not be so easy. Is that still going to be a big part of the festival?
Yeah, community is everything. The relationship of the festival to the community is everything about what the festival needs to be. It needs to serve the community, so we need to be able to make the connections between whatever our theme or themes are to the community and to community organizations and, you know, the surrounding areas. It's got to be about communities. This business, if you want to call it that, is all about relationships. It's all about human relationships. It's about an audience member connecting to what somebody who plays an instrument is doing. And likewise, it goes both ways.
My guest today is Constantine Katsopoulos, the newly appointed artistic director. I say newly appointed. It's been a couple of months now, but he's a new artistic director of the OK Mozart Festival. He's also the music director of the Queen Symphony Orchestra, general director of Chatham Opera, which he founded, and also the artistic director of a festival in South Florida, the Festival of the Arts Boca. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. His background includes symphonic music, includes opera, as well as Broadway. You spent a number of years doing a lot of Broadway work as well. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. A lot of times when you talk to the musicians, the orchestra, I mean, most of the musicians have been coming here from year one mm-hmm. or early on the festival, and they've just pretty much, this is their festival. They feel like they're at home in Bartlesville. You've been coming here for just the last couple of years. Have you, what is your initial reaction to this festival and to the city? Was it, did you gather that this is sort of a special festival in some way?
It really is. And as I mentioned before, you know, I've known about this festival for a long, long time because the musicians that make up the Amici New York Orchestra are freelance musicians in New York.
So they appear in the Queen's Symphony?
Some of them play in the Queen's yeah. Symphony. I've worked uh-huh. with them on Broadway. I've worked with them in the Opera House. Uh-huh. I've worked with them at the Westchester Philharmonic or the Brooklyn Philharmonic or any of those orchestras, and some of them play at the Metropolitan Opera, the New York Philharmonic. So I've been aware of this kind of sense of community between the orchestra members and the community of Bartlesville, and it's really extraordinary because from what I gather, the way things started out is that the musicians were housed in people's houses rather than hotels. And there have been long-lasting friendships that have been established. And as a matter of fact, you know, the people of Bartlesville are very friendly. And I've found them to be very, very open. I'm staying with a family these couple of days and did the last time I was here, Mark and Debbie Haskell, who I've you know, we hit it off, and we become friends. And that's a friendship that I think is going to last.
That probably didn't happen at the Boca Festival, does it?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, I have friends that are, you know, my.
I think there's a difference between a small town and a big city.
Yes, there is. I mean, the connection I have with the Festival of the Arts in Boca is very interesting because that Boca Raton is where I met my wife 20 years ago. She was the local musician that we hired when I was coming through with a tour. So there's that connection. And actually, in fact, the musicians down there, a lot of the musicians in Boca I've worked with over the years as well. So, and maybe that's why I'm attracted to that festival and to this one, is because there's a certain sense of familiarity with some of the people. And also, at the same time, I'm, you know, making new friends. It's a nice thing.
Yeah. Well, how will you balance the two festivals? You have you're music director of a symphony. You have an opera company. That seems like a lot on your plate.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of frequent flyer miles. You know, it's a lot that I have going on. But it's what I love to do. So I can't imagine waking up in the morning and not having all those things to do. It's like I say, I'm like the firefighter running to the burning building.
Now I know that. We'll be announcing the actual concerts later in the spring, but is there anything particularly different we'll see in this next year other than just sort of a thematic? You know, it's interesting you talk about the thematic element because the chamber music has had thematic elements over the years, but it just never really translated to the rest of the festival.
Well, yeah.
So much.
Yeah, what we want to do is to make that connection so that everything that happens at the festival is related to the theme, the central theme of each festival. But the other thing that goes along with all of that is that I would like for the first concert of each festival to be a family concert. Mm-hmm. We need to bring families into the fold. I'm not going to say anything that's new, but arts education in the schools have long suffered from budget cuts and so forth. So we have a couple of, you know, there's a couple of lost generations. I know in New York with Queen's Symphony, one of the things I do is I go out to the Queen's libraries and we do this program called Symphony 101, where we introduce kids to different families of the orchestra. And there are sometimes people that I meet that have never seen a violin before.
Mm.
And so if we can bring families in, I think it's important to have an all-of-the-above approach in the sense that, yes, we have to do education programs. We have to go into the schools and talk to young students and get them excited about playing an instrument. But there are also parents that haven't been well-educated in the arts. So when you do a family concert, you've got the parents and the kids. And
you're talking to two generations, really.
Yeah.
And you really have to it's a fine line between appealing to one to the exclusion of the other.
Yeah. So the challenge is finding programming that appeals to both. But I think it's an important mission that I have in my career is to reach families and to reach kids and their parents separately and together so that we have a future for a great art form.
Yeah. And a great festival in Bartlesville as well.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Yeah.
The OK Mozart Festival will get underway again in June of 2013. My guest today is Konstantin Katsopoulos, the recently appointed artistic director of the OK Mozart Festival. He's been a guest conductor the last 2 years and now assuming the entire festival. And I guess you'll be overseeing just about every sort of artistic event put together during the festival,
yep.
Which includes chamber music and it includes the main concert performances, I guess picking the guest artists that will come in, as well as, there's a couple of nights where it's sort of a standalone musical act, a crossover act a lot of times.
Right.
Any philosophy about how you are going to choose the music that relates to the theme outside of what we consider, the orchestral or chamber music philosophy?
I'll do it very carefully.
I mean, the festival has really brought in some really interesting music over the last few years.
Yeah, the crossover programming is kind of, it reminds me of an old Duke Ellington quote. Some reporter asked him one time what his favorite kind of music was, and I'm paraphrasing, and he thought for a second, and he said, well, there are two kinds of music. There's good music and there's bad music. He said, I like good music. So, it's a matter of my getting out into that kind of crossover area, and I've got a lot more to learn about it, I'm blessed with an 18-year-old daughter and a 29-year-old son who will teach me more than I ever wanted to know. But I'm very interested in crossover artists of all ethnicities. So this year it'll be American. One year it might be, I don't know. Let's say if one of the themes for one of the years is Vienna. Well, there's a particular brand of kind of crossover music called Schrammelmusik, which is basically, it's a string band with these weird stringed instruments that I had never seen before until I researched it.
Is it sort of gypsy-like with the cymbalins and things like
that? There's the
hammer dulcimer.
There's some of that, yeah. And there's a guitar, a kind of guitar that has two necks, but it's not like, the old John McLaughlin Mahavishnu Orchestra two necks. It's, if you look it up, if you Google it, it's really interesting stuff. So it might be interesting to have a group like that play. That's crossover. Those are musicians that are steeped in tradition, in their own musical tradition, but they're also classically trained traditionally trained. Uh-huh. There we go with that classical term again. and it's something new. It's something interesting. Or we might have a klezmer group, or something. So there are all sorts of possibilities, a lot of stuff going on out there.
Well, I was just thinking of this theme. This summer is about as big as you can get because you have everything from jazz to blues to roots music to, country and Western music.
Yeah. There's all sorts of stuff, all sorts of possibilities.
Well, we're looking forward to what you've come up with this summer. You've already mentioned the Dvorak Symphony No. 9 is going to be one of the orchestral highlights. Anything else you can give us a sneak peek about?
Well, gosh, Let me think how am I. I'll tell you some of the composers that folks will be hearing. Well, we mentioned Dvorak New World, and we talked about the connection to American music and to America. We'll be doing some music by Jared Tate, who is a native Oklahoman Chickasaw Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And as a matter, he's a very interesting case because I was researching Native American music by Native American composers for orchestra, and I came across his name time and time again. And our board president had mentioned him, and our executive director had mentioned him, and I thought, well, let me just, you know. So I contacted him a few months ago, and he sent me back an email. He said, hey, it's great to hear from you again. And I thought to myself, do I know him from somewhere? It turns out that in my days touring with Broadway shows, at the time he was living in Denver, and he was a local keyboard player that we hired. And I remembered him as a great musician, and also I remember he'd just begun composing then. So it was nice to make that connection again, and I talked to him on the phone, and we had a great conversation. We're going to be doing a little bit of Gershwin, a little bit of Harold Arlen,
mm-hmm.
John Corigliano, some Copland, and other than that, I can't tell you anything.
Well,
you got to wait till April 9th when we do our launch.
Now you did mention Harold Arlen as with your Broadway background. Are you expected to hear more songs of the music theater at the festival in the future?
That's a possibility, sure, yeah. I mean, you know, it'd be great to – I mean, one of my dreams would be to bring somebody like Kelly O'Hara back, though. She's a native Oklahoman.
Right.
She,
mm-hmm.
I'd love to have her. You know, I mean, her schedule is crazy, and God knows if we could ever – bring her in, you know, based on that. But, you know, I've worked with her on Broadway before. She's traditionally trained. She's trained as an opera singer, believe
right,
it or not.
Right, right, yeah.
But, you know, does the American Songbook beautifully. So it'd be great to have her at some point, I mean, you know, to come in and do some work. There are all sorts of people that from the music theater world that I would love to bring that have that, you know, traditional classical training and also do Broadway. It's kind of the ultimate crossover.
It is. Well, we wish you great success with the festival. We look forward to hearing the lineup later this spring. And Constantine, thanks very much for joining us.
Well, thanks so much for having me.
Constantine Katsopoulos, the newly appointed artistic director of the OK Mozart Festival, speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He leads several groups in the New York area, the Queen Symphony Orchestra and the Chatham Opera. He also is the artistic director of the Festival of the Arts in Boca Raton, Florida. The OK Mozart Festival will be June 9th through the 15th in and around Bartlesville. The lineup will be announced this coming April, and for more information, you can visit okmozart.com. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.